from time to time, politicians come up with something that leaves almost everyone scratching their heads and wondering how this idea made it off the table. Like, how did this get out the door and into the public? But Charlie Angus, the NDP MLA from BC, got in front of a bunch of microphones and cameras earlier this week and proudly told Canadians about this great idea that he'd come up with.
This is why I'm so proud to stand here today to state that the time has come to ban all oil and gas advertising. The big tobacco moment has finally arrived for big oil.
Yeah, you heard right. Charlie Angus wants us to ban advertising for oil and gas. He doesn't want anybody saying anything nice about oil and gas. Now, you know, if you and I said something about oil and gas, I don't think that's a problem. He's talking more about advertising campaigns, just like they did back for big tobacco in the 1990s.
The bill will make it illegal for big oil and gas lobby and the gas lobby or their front groups or paid influencers to falsely promote the burning of fossil fuels as a benefit to the public. The legislation will make it illegal to falsely claim that the use of one fossil fuel product is somehow better than another fossil fuel product in improving the environment. And this legislation will target advertising that falsely claims that oil and gas are having a positive impact on the global economy.
Now, I'm sure Charlie Angus thought this was a good idea. He might still think it's a good idea, but not a lot of other people do, at least the reaction that I've seen. And that includes our next guest, Adam Pankratz, a lecturer at the University of British Columbia's Sauder School of Business. Adam, thank you for being here today. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Shane. Nice to be back.
This is, as the great Cosmo Kramer would say, kooky talk, isn't it? I mean, this is nuts.
The bill and the idea are full of all kinds of false equivalencies and frankly crazy ideas. When I first heard about it, I honestly thought that can't be true. Charlie Angus is not even Charlie Angus, right? And he's generally somewhat of a sensible guy, whether you agree with his politics or not. And this was just right out of left field. So I went and read the bill and couldn't believe what I was reading. I mean, it starts off, like you said there, with the allusion to tobacco, which is totally erroneous. I mean, tobacco companies lied. This bill will make it illegal to tell the truth about fossil fuels, just a truth that that Charlie Angus and others may not like. But for example, one explicitly banned piece of information, and he mentioned it in the clip that you played up front there, is that saying that one fossil fuel burns cleaner than another. So you can't say that natural gas burns cleaner than oil. Well, that's just true.
It does.
That's just a scientific fact, right? You can't say that natural gas is better than coal. Therefore, Canada wants to export natural gas to Asia to replace coal-fired electricity plants, which are what the majority are in China, and that would have a beneficial effect on greenhouse gases globally. That is a scientific fact, right? And this bill would make saying that illegal. And it's just a sad statement on where the debate on fossil fuels has gone, that even stating facts now is apparently not desirable.
And Adam, he's not, like, this bill will never pass. I don't think we have to be worried about it. But what he's proposing, I mean, he's talking about putting people in jail for, as you say, speaking the truth. I mean, this bill carries some pretty serious penalties.
The proposed penalties for running afoul of this bill are $1.5 million and 2 years in jail as a maximum. Now, again, like you say, it's almost 0% chance that this is going to pass, but it tells you where the debate on fossil fuels is going and what the intent is of people who are so vehemently opposed to it, right? There's a total lack of recognition of the importance of the energy sector, not just to, you know, generally the Canadian economy, and I believe to reducing greenhouse gases in the short term and medium term, but also, you know, I was listening to your weather forecast. I think that's relatively warm, -8 in Edmonton for this time of year. But you know, you need energy. You need energy, and the constant discussion that energy is only a bane on society and the world. Well, you know, that's just not true. Like, you look at rich countries, energy, you use a lot of energy. Those also tend to be countries that are much more closely associated with democracy. There's lots of links I can make that show fossil fuels and energy and the need for energy, A, is not going away, and B, has had a huge impact in improving the lives of people around the world. It's not this evil thing that ruins people's lives. Quite the opposite.
I think you make an interesting point, an important point about where the conversation around this has gone. And I always say extremism is extremism, and I don't care what it is that you're talking about, and it's damaging, because you can't have a conversation when you're coming from an extreme point of view like this one. But I think, you know, the fact that this is, you know, a private member's bill, you're right. I mean, talk more about where you think we've seen the conversation around this go into crazy town, where you can't even have a conversation anymore.
Well, I think what has happened is that, you know, the oil and gas companies in years previous didn't always do themselves a lot of favors. And there's a reason, they have earned some of the reputation in the past with regards to First Nations or the environment, right? That they didn't always do a good job. That's not true anymore. And any responsible and smart company who wants projects to get through and wants to develop resources, they are engaging with society and First Nations up front. That's the first thing they do to indicate what the benefit is going to be and extract it in a responsible way. And the response, what we've seen happen, is that not that, oh, you know, if you're doing it in a better way and you're making your case more persuasively, that maybe, you know, if I were initially against it, I'm now interested in listening. Where the conversation of opposition has gone is quite clearly to just, well, no, we don't want fossil fuels at all. Any development is no good. And if you're not saying that, I'm not interested in listening. And that, like you say, is an extreme position that simply is nonsensical. You know, I haven't said this for a little while, but, you know, we know what the world looks like if you just cut fossil fuels. And what that world looks like is the first 2 weeks or first months of COVID in 2020. Fossil fuel demand cratered. The price of oil went to negative $40 a barrel. Well, that is the world if you eliminate fossil fuels from one day to the next. So I don't think anybody views that as desirable. And so what we're trying to work through, anyone who believes that we should move, and I've said many times, yeah, let's move to renewables. Yeah. That is a very desirable goal. Who wouldn't be for that? But this is going to take time.
Yes.
It's going to take time, and that timeline is going to be measured not in years, but in decades.
Yeah,
we've been addicted to oil for over 100 years, and it's going to take time to get off that. And natural gas ultimately probably is going to be the way, but it's going to take time.
Yeah, and the all or nothing conversations are it's like you say, it's just, you can't even start. There's not even a starting point there, and it doesn't make sense. It's not realistic. So you inject something like this into the conversation, and it's just a matter of, wow, it's really hard to believe. But like you say, it won't go anywhere. That's probably the good news of it. But you're right to say it's a little alarming that it got this far.
It is indeed. And, you know, it strikes me, another thing I'd say about this, it strikes me as, you know, the NDP and Charlie Angus talk incessantly about, you know, reconciliation with First Nations. And there seems to be a total lack of recognition that there is absolutely nothing that offers the opportunity for economic reconciliation with First Nations like the energy industry and the natural resources industry does. And if you are, and there's lots of First Nations who are making this point. And that's the other crazy thing about this bill. Like a First Nations chief or business person who would make the case that, hey, this is going to make our nation richer and we're for this, that would be illegal, right? And this is just wild that, you know, people who talk incessantly about needing to do things for First Nations are also intent on closing off the largest economic opportunity that they have. And it's just wild that we've ended up into such a myopic, one-sided and debate where the one side just refuses to listen to anything they don't like to hear.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Adam, thanks so much. Unfortunately, I got to move on, but I do appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.